Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing word. Here now is Ryan Dalton, our youth leader, with today's message.
Well, God is good, amen. I don't know, when you just allow Him to minister to your heart and to speak to you about His love to you, it's refreshing, you know? We can lose sight of that. We can become jaded in our perspective. We can become people who think that that's just some cliche thing. Oh, yeah, I've heard about the love of God. Yeah, I read about the love of God. Whatever. But if it's become cliche to you, it's because you've lost sight of how deep it really goes. You haven't heard it all. There's always more to discover. How high His love is, how deep His love goes, how long it is, how enduring it is. He wants us to know His deep and abounding, amazing love for us. We're going to continue with spiritual understanding because, let's face it, I think we're pretty well convinced now God wants us to come to maturity in our faith, doesn't He? He doesn't want us to just sit there and do the same thing over and over again. He doesn't want us to just get saved and to just sit there and do nothing with it. He desires us to grow in our relationship with Him. And just like we talked about last week, it's really, really going to be tied up in the body of Christ. You see, we learned how important it is to be a part of a community of believers, that God did not create us to do this thing alone, and that He has so set it up that it is important for us to see that our maturity is going to come through our experiences as they pertain to the body of Christ. We read about how you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God dwells in you. And we so often want to take these verses and we just want to apply them individualistically. We want to just see it as it pertains to me, myself, and I. But we forget that the Bible is written to people, plural, groups of people. Most of the letters being written to entire churches, addressing the church at large, capital C, if you will. But we get in this habit of just reading it for ourselves. And when we do that, we lose sight of a major part of the context of what's going on here. Yes, individually, Holy Spirit resides in you if you are a born-again believer. But He also dwells amongst His people in ways that He's not going to dwell amongst individuals. Because when you have a group of people who come together, every one of them having Holy Spirit residing inside of them, something very special should take place as a result of that kind of community. God dwells amongst His people, His gathered people, in ways that He will not gather with you when you're just alone in your prayer closet. This is just the truth, that there are certain things that God wants to teach you, certain anointings He wants to share with you, understanding and revelation He wants to give you in the context of community. But when we think it's just about me, myself, and I, just my personal walk with Jesus and everyone else can take a hike, we are missing out on the purpose of the body of Christ. Look, we've also learned when we read last time as well that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Meaning those who follow the Holy Spirit's lead are mature, are becoming a mature son or a mature daughter of God. To the extent that you follow the Holy Spirit's lead is the extent that you are exemplifying maturity. And if it's true that we collectively are the temple of the Holy Spirit and that God is going to dwell in the midst of His gathered people in ways that He's not going to do it by yourself alone in a prayer closet, that means that your maturity is also going to be tied up in being a part of a community of believers. That's something I really want us to remember from the last time I spoke last week. I have it written down here, and I just want to say it again, that if we will not experience the presence of the Holy Spirit as He dwells with God's people, and our level of maturity depends upon how we follow the Holy Spirit's lead, then it follows that we will never come to full maturity apart from the gathering of God's people, the church. The church really ought to be such a thing that as Holy Spirit resides in us and around us and in the context of community, that it causes the world to look at us and say, what? Like literally dumbfounds them, causes them to be confused. There shouldn't be this idea that the church looks so much like the world. That isn't good. But when Holy Spirit has his way and you have individual believers who are filled with Holy Spirit, following the Holy Spirit's lead, coming together and doing that in a community setting, the world will look at that and be like, wow, they're doing things that we can't replicate. We should be doing things that the world can't replicate. There ought to be things that people find in connection with the church that the world can never produce. And believe me, Satan loves to counterfeit things. And he loves to do what he can to try and replicate the things of God through his own cheap means. But I tell you what, he is not able to do it. He's not able to do all the things that really amount to the importance of us coming together as a body of believers. And like we read in our vision, and we'll read here in a little bit, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. It is so important for us to see this as a collective mindset and not just run away with it just as it pertains to individuals and think, oh, well, it's just between me and Jesus. It's not. It is very, very important that we see how connected we are to the rest of the body. Now, what I want us to do is I want us to go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want to read verses 12 through 14 to start us off. But I also, as you're turning there, I want us to go ahead and stand and prepare to say the vision together. Let's read it together. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing his kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Oh, Lord, I just know that this word is something that our flesh wants to kick against. I know, God, that it's so easy for us to just want to recoil and to become recluse, to drift away and to isolate ourselves because we want to seek our own desires, God. But Lord, we know that when we're being held accountable by your word, we cannot help but to admit, Lord, that we see that community is a part of it, God, a major part of it. Lord, you have taught us so much in your word, and God, we thank you for that, but Lord, we ask for more. Because we don't just want to stay where we're at. We beg you, God, for more. More of you. And God, we ask that you would open up our hearts to be ready to receive it. And God, I thank you for the revelation that you're going to bring as a result. And ultimately, the glory that you will bring to your own name as a result. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So again, last week we talked about the importance of understanding us as sort of a unit, as a body of Christ, right? And recognizing that, yes, as it pertains to the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and amongst us, we're only going to really exemplify maturity to the extent that we exemplify the fruit of the Spirit. And just like you think about how it pertains to trees, if you plant that apple tree, you have to wait for it to become mature till it bears fruit. Amen? No one expects to plant that tree and the next day go out and look for the apples, right? They're not there yet. At the same time, you don't expect to plant an apple tree and then 50 years come later, you come back and there's still no apples and it looks like a sapling. That would be a little confusing as well. There's this balance, and the balance is this: are we in the process of maturity or are we not? And do we recognize that the process of maturity is contingent upon how we are following Holy Spirit's lead? Are we being led by the Spirit of God? And to the extent that we understand that it isn't just about you following Holy Spirit individually, it's also about the role that you play in the body of Christ, trying to help one another follow the Holy Spirit's leading together as a unit, as a family. That has everything to do with your maturity. We talked about conflict. We talked about how, you know, it would be so much better if we just told people up front when they start going to church that you will experience drama, that you will experience conflict, and that you will experience hardship. Because wherever the church is, there is people. And wherever there is people, there is conflict. You have conflicts with just yourself, let alone adding other people into the mix. You know it's true. You've got internal conflicts, you've got external conflicts, and it's a whole conglomeration of those things all mixed together when the church comes together, because the church is made up of people. And that's okay. And Jesus factored that in when he decided to die for the church, when he decided that, you know what, it's worth it, no matter what. And he still said the gates of hell will not prevail against it, despite all the things that we struggle with and go through. But he is also envisioning a church that has come to maturity. A church that is going to be able to understand that, hey, there's going to be conflict, but if we submit it to Jesus together, we're going to get through it together, and we're going to be better for it, not worse. Remember, I define constructive conflict as a conflict that is managed in a productive manner and therefore ends up in better outcomes. If you go through difficulty and hardship, but you submit it to the Holy Spirit and you decide to stick with it, you will grow as a result, in such a way that you would not have grown without the conflict. God uses conflict to be able to draw out things in you that remain hidden. You sometimes don't know what kind of foundation you're standing upon until an earthquake happens. And that's why Jesus tells us in his word, hey, are you building the house on sand, or are you building it on the rock? Because the rain is coming, the flood is coming. It's coming, and it's going to blow and beat against the house. And you will find out in that day whether it was built upon sand or whether it was built upon rock, being built upon Jesus and his word. And sometimes you think it is, you say it is, until the conflict happens, and the next thing you know, you're like, wait a second, if I'm standing on the solid foundation of God's word, why is it that I'm about to fall over with all of the shaking and rumbling? Why is it my peace is taken from me, and I'm being tormented, and I feel like I'm confused and lost? Could it be because to the extent that you are confused and lost and experiencing torment, it is because you are also to that same extent not standing upon the word of God like you thought you were? That's how God uses conflict. He says, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. And we would always like to think, well, then I'm not going to have anything fall off of me because everything in my life is built upon the rock, amen? And then the conflict happens and you find out, oh, wow, like it actually takes a lot more to trust Jesus than I realized. That's important to see that. And God's going to allow you to go through it for your benefit. Remember, we've talked before, the enemy tempts you. God doesn't tempt you. God tests you. Temptation is for the purpose of your failure. Testing is for the purpose of your growth. God wants to test you, and he's going to test you. And sometimes the testing is going to involve challenges. Who thought that that would ever be the case? Whenever we take a test, that it would be challenging? I take tests at school sometimes, and you better believe I don't get every answer right, because it's difficult, and you have to study, and you have to understand what's coming and prepare yourself for it. But then even when you do that, there still winds up being questions or things on the test that you didn't anticipate, and it's hard. But that's how it is spiritually too. God is going to make sure it happens, because he's a good teacher. He doesn't want you to think, oh, well, you just do a few flashcards and you're ready. Like, no. There's going to be some tests, some questions on that test that are going to come up that you're going to be like, Lord, I have no idea what to do here. Can you help me? But that's the whole point. Do we run to Jesus with our conflict, or do we run away? And as it pertains to the body of Christ, statistically speaking, most people run. They don't say, I'm going to stick with it like a family and work through this conflict. What I'm going to do instead is avoid, because it's very, very, very uncomfortable to face it head on. We have to be aware of that discomfort that we face when we are in the body of Christ and that kind of thing happens. Yeah, I know it might seem really, really appealing to say, you know what, I'm just going to start somewhere fresh where there's no drama, and hopefully it'll stay that way this time. I'll be here as long as there's not drama. Well, I'll only know you for a couple weeks then. I brought up the example, hey, we're part of a family, right? When you grow up and you're a part of a family, you don't typically have the option to say, you know what, y'all being really challenging, I'm going to go to the family down the street. They'll accept me. They'll adopt me because you guys are being too difficult. That doesn't typically happen that way. And just like I didn't have the option to do that when I had drama or family conflict, so too, we shouldn't have that same option or think it's an option anyway to do it when it comes to being a part of the local body of Christ. But unfortunately, you know, I would hope that when I was a kid, and if I decided, you know what, you guys are being too difficult, I'm going to go to the family down the street, I would hope that the family down the street would say, what's going on? Are you okay? You know your mom and dad love you, and you know your brothers and sisters love you. I know that it can be hard sometimes, but you should really go back home. That's not what churches do. They are so eager to accept anyone and everyone who will come in, even if they're coming from a place of woundedness from their past church, never bringing up the conversation, what happened? There has been times where I've talked to people who I knew left the church in offense, and I just said, did you pray about if you were supposed to leave? I've talked many times and have given the example that the reason that you should go to a church is because God told you to go there. God wants you to be a part of the body of Christ. That's not debatable. He wants you to be a part of the body of Christ. But as it pertains to all different options that you have in a particular city or area where all the churches are and so many different churches on any one given street, did it ever cross your mind to pray about it, where you're supposed to be? Now, it isn't this cute little like, well, I'll just pray about it every single week and I'll go to this church and then 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 this church. I don't know how many are in Sydney. I could go on for probably a while. But the point is, you can do that. And you can probably be blessed by it by a little bit, but you're not going to get an enduring, promising blessing that God is going to help you with because you won't be there long enough to go through any conflict. And conflict is part of what he wants you to go through when it comes to your relationships with people. When you ask God where you're going to go, something really awesome happens. You go there because he said so. But if you go there for any other reason, you then think you have a license to leave for any one of those reasons. You came because the pastor had really, really awesome, beautiful curly hair. Why are you laughing? Who are you? I'm not talking about myself. If I shave it off, though, where will you be? You know what I mean? Like, if that's the reason you came, and all of a sudden that reason is gone, let's make it a little more realistic example. Maybe you came because you like the missions program that that church has, or maybe the praise and worship team that that church has. Maybe because the pastor brings a good word, and they're led by God, and they really are on fire for God. We know we have a pastor like that with Pastor Fred, bringing the word week after week. But if the reason you go is only because of one of those reasons, don't you think you'll feel like you have a license to leave once that reason is taken out? The mission program gets shut down, the pastor leaves the church or takes another position somewhere else, or the worship team, you know, they just can't get it together and sing out of tune all the time. Like, don't you think that you would feel like you have this reason to go when the reason that brought you there in the first place is all of a sudden not there? You can reason yourself in and out of going to a church or not going to a church really easily. But if you ask God, Lord, am I called there? You won't leave until he says to. That's how I ended up at Russell Road. I asked God, Lord, where do you want me to go? And he said, I want you to go back to Russell Road, because I had taken a moment where I wasn't here when I was doing missions with YWAM. God told me to do that. And when I got back from that, I just asked God, Lord, What do you want me to do right now? I feel like I'm entering into a different season. I feel like you've taught me a lot and have shown me some very foundational things that I need to know. I just want to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. Where do you want me to go? And he said, I want you to go to Russell Road, and I want you to serve it like you've never served it before. That's how it started. And I won't leave until either he says to or I get fired. Now, you never know. I mean, I don't think that's in the cards, really, you know, in the plan. Praise God. Pastor Fred, if you're watching. I enjoy it here, and I've loved it ever since I started. But has there been drama? Yes. Yes, there has. I've been screamed at. I've been threatened. Not my pastor friend. I've been screamed at. I've been threatened. I've had people very displeased with me. I've had people shun me. I've had people act like they don't know me anymore. And just, whoop, there's Ryan. I'm going to go around. I've experienced it, and it doesn't feel good. But when I submit it to Jesus, it does me good. Because I didn't know how much value I put on the fear of man until I started having it revealed what happens when I don't always have the respect of man. And boy, oh boy, was that hard, but it grew me. It helped me. It caused me to look at myself and say, wow, like maybe I'm not standing on the foundation of Christ the way I thought I was. I need to get my value through who Jesus says that I am. And not what people say about me. People will say all kinds of good things and bad things about you. You shouldn't take either to heart, really. You need to see what God says about you and take that to heart. Because God doesn't have opinions. He has facts, okay? It's not like it's, oh, optional for God or just an opinion for God. No, when God says it, it's true. It's a fact. It can be relied upon and as sure and as steadfast as a solid rock to build upon and to trust in for the rest of your life. We need to know that, but we won't ever truly know it in an authentic way unless we're tested in that area. And as it pertains to the body of Christ, the tests are coming. And do you know that they're going to be coming even harder? Because we're going into a time now in this world where we're going to be tested in ways we didn't anticipate. Things are getting darker in a lot of ways, and that isn't a reason to despair. It's only a reason to shine brighter, right? It isn't a reason to withdraw. It is a reason to continue with one another. I want to remind you what we talked about last week in Hebrews chapter 10, where it says that we need to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but all the more exhorting one another as we see the day approaching. The day, capital D. The day of Christ's return, the day of judgment. We need to know that as that day is coming closer, we need to be seeing each other more and encouraging each other more, not less. No matter how much busier we think we're getting or how much more responsibility gets put on our shoulders, we need to know our unity together is what is going to cause us to stand against the enemy's plans, as well as to stand together in understanding what Holy Spirit wants to show us and how he wants us to grow. We don't want to forsake something that Jesus found so important that he would die for her. He loves his church. He does. He wants us to love the church too. He wants us to be a part of the body of Christ. And he wants us to see where we function in the body of Christ. If we pick up the verse from where we left off in this 1 Corinthians passage, chapter 12, I want to look at verse 15. It says, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? You see, the body of Christ is meant to be diverse in functionality. We all have the same understanding that we need to say, look, the gospel is what we're spreading. We are about the advancing of the kingdom of God. These are things that are going to be true for all of us. We need to know how to teach the gospel, to help people to understand who Jesus is, having the ministry of reconciliation, right? But at the same time, that doesn't mean we're all going to go about it the same exact way. We are all different parts of a body. And just like a physical body has very many different parts, they're all diverse, these parts, and are meant to function and do different things. But the reality is, no matter how healthy or useful a particular part of your body is, if you were to cut it off and remove it from you, it's going to wither up and die by itself and is no longer going to add its benefit to the body like it used to. Doesn't matter your heart, doesn't matter how healthy it is. You can be a marathon runner and have like amazing cardiovascular ability. And you take out your heart, it's going to die. And you're going to die because it's not in you anymore. It's supposed to work in conjunction with the rest of your body. In the same way that a heart is no longer useful when it's detached now from the body, so too is a person not useful to the kingdom of God when they decide to remove themselves from the body of Christ. Doesn't mean you're not saved. It doesn't mean that you don't know Jesus at all. It only means that you are no longer going to be able to make a meaningful impact for the kingdom of God when you refuse to do it in conjunction with the people of God. Because God wants us to work like a unit, like a body. There's a reason why the emphasis on this body thing is so, long, really. When you read this passage, he really spends some time wanting to talk about this. He's equating the body of Christ to a physical body, and it should be the same understanding that just like our physical bodies can become useless when we start to detach certain members of it from ourselves, so too is it for us as believers when we remove ourselves from the body of Christ. It makes sense to me. Now, when we see this passage, and it goes on, it says, "But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." That is the kind of connectedness we are supposed to have with one another, that if you were to suffer and to go through something, I would hope that we could feel it right there alongside you. Amen. That when you rejoice and praise God, that we could come along just right there beside you and be able to do the same thing for what God is doing and what God is accomplishing in your life. Do we have that kind of connectivity, or are we kind of having isms and schisms, cliques and clubs? My us four and no more mentality of, I am only going to talk to these people and I'm not going to go out of my way to talk to anybody else. I am going to sit in the same spot I've always sat in, and I will try to sneak out before the service is done so that I won't get accosted on my way to the door with someone trying to talk to me because I am afraid of conversation. Like, we have to be aware of this. It isn't really going to be something that you're all gung-ho about all the time, but you don't want to follow your feelings either. Remember, the heart is deceitful above all things, and who can know it? It says that out of the heart spring the issues of life. You try to follow your feelings or an Enneagram or something that says like, yeah, you know, you only scored this high, so you're really introverted, so you have an excuse to just stay by yourself. No, I'm introverted and I'm uncomfortable up here in front of you. Like, that's how it is. But I believe that's what God wants me to do, and God is helping me to do it. Hopefully he's helping you also in the process of making me do it. But I tell you what, when we serve God and we do it in a way that's pleasing to him and we're seeking him, wanting to be led by Holy Spirit, it is always going to involve the body of Christ, and that's always going to involve relationships. And sometimes it's going to cause you to meet people you didn't know before and do things you never thought you'd do before. It'll stretch you. It'll get you out of your comfort zone. And conflict will happen as a result, but God will use it for good so long as you keep submitting it to him. Do we see each other as vital to the function of how the body is supposed to live, act, and move in this world?
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul: "Be complete,
Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.